Bibles to Psalm 112, 1 through 3. We've been on the topic of wealth, God's way. I remember when I first started the church and we were in the small building over on Palmetto Street. I was believing God then. I remember I needed money to start the church. And to begin the process of this, God had laid it on my heart several years earlier. My mom and dad pastored a church north of here, and I would come back and forth when I was attending Bible college and the University of South Florida down there after that, and I would drive back and forth through Florence. My sister attended Francis Marion and went on to medical school at the University of South Carolina, but I remember that I would drive through, and I'd always feel a pull to Florence, and I always felt like I'd drive through, and I'd look at buildings, and always feel that there was something we could do here, that there was always a draw from the Spirit that we would start. And I remember in a meeting that I had, the Lord spoke to me and I heard from heaven that this would be where I would start our first church. And so I as time progressed, we knew that God wanted us to start this church but didn't have the means to do it. I was in a meeting with Brother Hagin one night. I'm mixing stories up so that you can just kind of, you know, I mean, so don't get the time frame together. But I was in a meeting Brother Hagin's meeting, and I was sitting at the very back of the auditorium in the last row of the seats in the balcony, just waiting on God and praying about coming to Florence. And I was watching all that was going on, looking over the expanse of the auditorium at that time. And I was praying and seeking God. And after the service, a man with broken English who I'd never met before, never seen before, I believe with all of my heart was an angel, had walked up to me and began to speak to me about what God was going to do and how God was going to do it. And I was looking down. I remember I was looking down and I was saying, God, how can I get that? How can I get that music? How can I? And I remember this man said, God's going to provide it. All you have to do is ask. He's called you to do it. He's called you to go ask. And so before we came, I needed the money to get going here financially. And I started seeking God about how he was going to provide financially for me to succeed here. And the Lord opened an opportunity for me to remodel a home, which I had never done before, and God gave it to me. From that, there was an amazing situation that happened. We ended up selling the house, and we made about $40,000-something. And I learned how to remodel homes. And every home that I've ever remodeled, I made over $40,000 cash money off of that home, most of them in excess of $40,000. And so I've done that several times. As a matter of fact, my wife and I are going to go and do another one soon. We're just going to remodel a home, and because I just, you know, I feel like that building cash equity is not a bad idea. How many believe that's a good idea? I've learned how to do it. I know how to do it. I know how to flip houses, and God taught me how to do that. And so, you know, from that, but that was a financial miracle from God. I remember we didn't have the money. We didn't have the ability, but all of that came at the time necessary. But my heart was in the right place. I had my heart looking at wealth God's way. I realized there's a principle that God is wanting to get us. And I want to look in this room today, and I want to say something to you. And I think sometimes our dreams are much smaller than God's dreams. Our thoughts are much smaller than God's thoughts. Our ideas are much smaller than God's ideas. And I think it's time for all of us to have a larger idea. The Bible says that you will be a lender and not a borrower. That God has called us to be lenders and not borrowers. I look in the room today. I don't know if you're a lender in this room today, but most of us are borrowers. We've borrowed on houses, borrowed on cars, borrowed on different things. And the Bible says that you're subject to the lender. How many know that when you are in, you can become in bondage to someone who owns something you borrowed? And they dictate how you're going to do things. And I think God wants to get us free from the mandate of the world and get us into a position. I hope that this resonates with you. I hope that you'll sit here today and say, you know, I would like to be able to give away my car when God said give it, but the bank owns it. How many of you know when God says give it, you can't have the bank owning it? Somebody say amen. When God, we've got to get to a point where the bank doesn't own the car. where the bank doesn't own, that our credit cards aren't so maxed out that we can't do anything. We've got to get to the point that we know a God that is more than enough, that will take us to a higher place and take us further in life, so that not only can we enjoy life, but we can enjoy it without being subject to the lender. Somebody say amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, God wants me free from debt. I wish you'd shout that out. God wants me free, from debt. Come on, say it again. God wants me free, from debt. Hallelujah. The devil has robbed far too much from us. Amen. He's taken far too much from us. I look around the world today and I think about all the things that are happening. And I look at all the challenges that are going on. Unless you're a crazy person and you're rich, you're usually not involved in all the mess. Come on, somebody say amen. How many know money is a great equalizer? Whether we like to believe that or not. Now, the Bible didn't say money was the root of all evil. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. And we ought not to be afraid or in fear to talk about money. Here's what it says in Ecclesiastes. That it says this. It says that money answereth all things. Hallelujah. I've often said this. I don't need any money. But everywhere I go, they need it. Amen. Everywhere you go, they're going to need money. And I tell you that money will change your environment. Money will change your circumstances. Money is a miracle from God. Somebody say amen. And there are more scriptures about money in the Bible than even salvation. Now, salvation is where we jump off. But God wants us to enjoy the benefits of life. And he wants us to have a full and joyful life. And I look in this room today, and you may not believe this, but I'm going to speak it by the prophetic utterance of God. There are those in this room that you're going to have such wealth that you're going to help to develop the economy of this region. You're going to help to develop. See, it's not just that God wants you to be an employee, but God wants you to be the employer. Hallelujah. I believe in this room are people who are going to generate employees that are going to bring about the change in the environment. You're going to be the ones doing the hiring and the firing. Somebody say amen. God is going to bring you into a land where you are going to be an employee development, that under you people are going to grow their economies because your economy grew. You are going to be the one who brings in the employment of Florence, South Carolina, and our region. You're the one that's going to help develop economy in our region. You're the one that's going to be able to invest in the bank and the bank to lend the money. Somebody say amen. You're the lender and not the borrower. I believe that. I wish somebody would get on board with me, would start believing with me and start agreeing with me that you're going to be the one that develops businesses, that you're going to be building buildings where people are going to work. Amen. You're going to be the employer and not just the employee, that God's going to raise you up to change the culture of our community. Amen. You're going to speak into the business community. You are going to speak into the realms of finance. I believe this with all of my heart, that there'll be an influence that comes from within the church, and the church shall rise to a higher place, and that the wealth of the church shall astound that of the world, and those that look at the church and look down at the church shall begin to look up and say, from whence comes my help? And we can say, from even the Lord who giveth thee the power to get well, that he may establish his kingdom upon the earth. I tell you, if you'll get a hold of this message, if you'll join with me in believing God, that it's time that we're going to move into a higher place, into a deeper realm. We're going to step into a place. They're going to call us for advice on finance. They're going to call us for advice on how to move the economy. They're going to call this place. They're going to call the people in this church and say, how can we change the economy of Florida? Businesses are going to come because you are there. They are going to draw economy to you. Because you're in the building, the place is going to prosper. Because you're in the place is going to grow. Employees are coming. They're not laying folks off. They're bringing folks. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it. Hallelujah. He's going to bring the buyers and the sellers together. Glory to God. I tell you what, about right now, I can't even hardly talk. I'm about to let loose. I can't even explain it. Hallelujah. I just believe this. This isn't just a message that's coming out of my head. I'm telling you, there's something stirring in my spirit. There's an anointing about to hit the church that is going to bring finances and wealth into the house of God. And to let the and we talk about let the redeemed say so. You're going to be able to reach in your wallet and say so. Hallelujah. I believe it with all my heart. There's something happening, and God is releasing wealth from the wicked into the righteous. God is going to bring finances from the world into the house of God. You are the house of God, and your transforming power of God is going to come, and the miracle you need to exceed is going to come. Hallelujah. God's going to meet every need. Not one need shall go unmet, for my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I tell you now, heaven is paved with gold. Heaven has streets that are full with jasper stone. Heaven has pearls as a gate. And if heaven has it, then we have it, because I have what heaven has. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is going to do something great for the church. This is the last days. I see it. I see that this is the last days for the church. We're about to be ushered into the realms of glory. And before we leave this planet, there'll be an outpouring of God's Spirit upon this earth like we've never seen before. And people are going to run to the house of God. But they don't flock to places that have nothing. They flock to places that have something. Amen. We go to places that can give us something. And I tell you, the church is going to have something. We're going to have the something that the world needs. It isn't just spiritual things. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. God is going to allow the prosperity of the soul in the church. The house of God is going to be filled with a word, a depth that we've never seen before. But on top of that depth shall be an order of prosperity. There shall be an order of healing, and a magnitude of order shall come. And the panso krepasia tola manchepene, and the presence of God shall come. And his presence, when it comes, brings blessing and fills the house with the goods of heaven. And God shall perform in this day a way we have never seen before. For the Lord shall do a great work among his people, and they shall be blessed from head to toe. Wherever they go, their foot shall trod. The Lord shall go before them and fight the battle before them. An open door shall be set before them, and the presence of the Lord shall encamp about them, and they shall walk in a might that they have not walked in before. For the Lord shall fight the battle before them. You'll not have to fight the battle, but God shall fight the battle for you. God shall step before us and shall trample underfoot every enemy that raises his head against the word and knowledge of God. For God shall do a work that shall change the minds of men, and the hearts of men shall change, and shall surely come to peace, and shall come to a place of knowing. And God shall reign and rule and be lifted high, and he shall be seen as the only one true God, for he is that God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Look at somebody and say, the Lord makes rich. The Lord makes rich, brother. The Lord makes rich. And when he does, he doesn't add any sorrow to it. Oh, the Lord makes rich. I'm telling you, the anointing of God is on this word. I tell you, if you'll jump in it and say, this is me, this is me, this is me. Hallelujah. We've had four messages on this, and this is actually our fifth, but I'm calling it number four. I don't have time to review. I wanted to go back. But I'm going to go ahead and step forward, if that's okay, just because of time. I want to share this with you. I want you to turn to, instead where we were, go to Proverbs 23 and 4. I want to show you something. Proverbs 23 and 4. Hallelujah. Don't back down. 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 Some might say, why is this happening? Why is that happening? No, it's about to change. It's about to change. Oh, hallelujah. It's about to change. It's about to change. Oh, hallelujah. It's about to change. It's about to change. It's about to change. Some might say, how? How could this be? How could these days be? How could this happen? How could this happen? And I say to you, it's about to change. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. It's about to change. Look at somebody and say, it's about to change. Things are about to change. Things are about to change. Think, don't get discouraged. Don't get downbeaten. Don't get upset. Don't get frustrated. It's about to change. The turn is coming. There's a turn coming. There's a turn coming. And the things that you see today, you shall not see in the days ahead. For there's a turn. Ha ha ha. There's a turn coming. There's a change coming. And God, Shaproke Peranina, I tell you, I've got a prophetic word on me. Hallelujah. The voice, the anger, the energy shall change and turn. For God shall come in the midst of that and shall change that and turn that. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Rabashi Pananumbra. Herigida Monsabona, Rebene Ben Shipana. Ha 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 ha. Oh, ha 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 ha. Oh, shh. Ha ha ha. Oh, ha ha ha. And we shall laugh. We shall laugh at the enemy. Oh, ha ha ha. Oh, no more shall we weep and cry and be in grief and mourning, for the day has come that the light has shined. And that light shall be bright, taparoto. And that light shall be bright, 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 as the morning day sun. And it shall change, and the joy of the Lord shall rise upon his people. Who's the pananu gribetipa? Ha ha ha. Oh, the Lord strong and mighty. Who is this God? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Open up the gates, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Oh, hey, Rikaramon Shurabustapana. It's not by might. And it's not by power, but yes, it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. And my spirit shall flood the earth as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, ha ha ha. Ha ha. Oh, just take a minute and laugh at the devil. Laugh at him. He's a liar. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha. At sickness I laugh. Ha ha. At disease, ha ha ha, I will laugh. Ha ha ha. At poverty I will laugh. Ha ha ha. Oh, ha ha ha. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Laugh at it, laugh at it, laugh at it, laugh at it, laugh at it. It has no hold on you. It has no hold on you. Ha ha ha. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Just say, I'm going higher. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Proverbs 23:4 says this. Labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. And I want to say this to you. Keep playing, Brother Greg. We're close to the end of this. I just want to, I'm going to continue to prophetically preach. There is a labor for riches that will be an error in the lives of men. We as the church cannot labor for riches. The Bible says that if we seek first the kingdom of God, our labor must be for the kingdom of God. Our labor must be in the house of God. Our labor must be committed to a vision of God, a dream from heaven. God used dreamers, people who could dream. He used people that he had vision placed inside of their heart. And if the church has a vision for souls, if the church has a vision, and that's you and I, not just this building, not the place we attend, not Family Worship Center, but you and I, and our vision and our dream is to see heaven filled. That our dream is to see heaven filled. I've noticed that God does a peculiar thing with those who dream of God. With those who are lovers of God. And he says that if our love is for wealth and our dreams are for wealth, that's a labor that's worthless. It's a worthless labor. It can be accomplished. There are people that have accomplished laboring for wealth, and they did get it. They got wealth. But on top of that wealth, they didn't get God. And more importantly than any wealth, because wealth can't buy heaven. Wealth can't buy heaven. And so he said, don't labor for wealth. Don't labor for riches. Don't labor. Labor not to be rich. You see, with God, you don't have to labor to be rich. God will make you rich. He said, the blessings of the Lord will make you rich, and he will add no sorrow to it. So the labor for God will make you rich. Somebody say amen. Amen. What actually enriches your life is not the target of wealth. I've had wealth. I've had a position in my life at one time when I was very wealthy but was not in the house of God. I made lots of money but wasn't in the house of God. And I can tell you it was an empty thing. It found an emptiness in my heart and it never filled me. Amen. Interestingly enough, unless you come in, there's a love that will fill you and it's God. That love, and when you have God's love, that filling will surpass everything. That's what I was saying about these youth. In that youth camp that we had, that intense presence of God that came in that room with those kids will be something you cannot find in any drug, in any act of immorality. You can't find it anywhere in this world. Nothing will fill you like the presence of God. Once God has touched you, once you have had the touch of God, you will yearn for it the rest of your life. There'll be a desire for that touch for the rest of your life. I can't explain it, but I know it for myself, and I hope you know what I'm talking about. When God comes in his anointing, just like just then, when I was prophetically uttering and God was speaking through me, listen to me, there will be nothing in life that can be a substitute for what just happened in my experience. Nothing. And we need those experiences in life. No trophy, no event, no situation will ever be at the magnitude of the presence of God in someone's life. Amen. I've done all that. But only God has brought me the satisfaction and the filling that I need. So he says, labor not. You know, that's what, like the scripture. It says bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. There's a filling that you need that nothing in this world can fill. And people will try and labor after things that cannot fill them. And so the value of wealth is the use to which you put it. The value of wealth is the use to which you put it. Let me say it again. The value of wealth is the use that you put it, to where you put it, where you've put your life. The value of your life, your life's wealth, your life is the use that you put to it. See, if you put it to a ending task, amen, then it ends. But if you put it to an eternal task, it lasts forever. There is an ending task and there's an eternal task. And God wants us to go after the eternal, a satisfaction that goes beyond life and goes into eternity. Somebody say amen. What a waste to have fulfilled life but ended it with no ending, with no perpetuation of it. And so value is the use that you put to it. Matthew 12, 30 and 31 tells us this. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thine heart. all thy soul and all thy mind, and with all your strength. I mean, all. There is no limit to what we can give when we give all. Somebody say amen. All. This is the first commandment. Then he gives us a second one, which is like unto the first. Then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandments greater than these. Love God and love man. Somebody say amen. Now Galatians 5:6 says something very interesting. It says this: for in Jesus there's neither circumcision that avails anything or uncircumcision. I want you to know something. There's neither bond nor free. There's not Greek and Gentile. There's not male or female. There are no divisions in God. Everybody in God is exactly the same. Come on, somebody say amen. God said that he treats all of us exactly the same. I don't care what the world does, but in God, he transitions us from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And when we come into this kingdom, the only thing that we could receive other than that is let me just keep going. So God says there's neither circumcision or uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by love. Say faith that worketh by love. Let's say that out loud again. Faith which worketh by love. Say it again. Faith which worketh by love. Now I want you to see something. Gideon had a love for God and a love for the people of God. And God poured wealth into Gideon. So much wealth that he was able to rebuild the wall and bring the people together and bring safety to an entire community, an entire generation. Why did God pour into Gideon? Why did Gideon have it? Because he loved God and he loved man. They go together. There has to be a heart and a condition that says, God, you're first. What is the use of my life? What is the use of my finance? What is the use of my future? Love God first and love man the same. Without loving God and without loving man, then you don't have you're not qualified for God's blessing. God's blessing comes through love God, love man. Look at somebody and say, to qualify, you got to love God. You got to love man. I don't know whether you've ever thought about it. Do you know what it took to build the boat Noah built? No one had ever done it before. God not only gave him the plan, but gave him the ability and resources to do it. Why? Because of his love for and. You can't collect animals. I dare you to try and collect two animals of every kind on this earth. I dare you to collect two animals of every kind in America. Only God could call them from the uttermost parts to show up at a location where God had put the power in a man's hand. I wish somebody understood what I'm talking about. It only takes one that loves God and loves man. And God will bring the resources from the north, the south, the east, and the west. He will call to you the ability to do it. It is he that gives thee the power to get wealth. He couldn't have gone and collected those animals. Only God could bring them to him. Somebody say amen. Think of Jacob and what God did with Jacob. Think of Isaac and what God did with Isaac. How God brought them out. Think of Joseph and what God did with Joseph. How God brought Joseph out of prison and provided to him the resources, put him in the position to lead the entire known world at that time. Somebody say amen. Manage it so that people could live and be restored and helped and provided for when they had nothing. He was there by the power of God. God put it in his hand. From a prison cell. From a prison cell. God put it in his hand. Just because you don't see it today doesn't mean the dream that God gave you in the prison can't become the reality of your future. Oh, I wish somebody would understand where I'm coming from. And then look at David, how God took David and transformed him. He was wandering in a wilderness on the backside of a desert. He had very few that were with him that would follow him. All of those women and were captured, and God provided. Think about, I'm just trying to hit the story, but think about where he was. Think about the mess he was in. He was being chased. He was running for his life. Some of you feel like you're running for your life financially today. He was running for his life, but God had a plan to take him from the runner to the winner. Somebody say amen. I mean, you may be running, but if you realize you're running to a finish line, you're running to a prize. Somebody say amen. I'm running somewhere. I may be running. It might look like I'm running from the enemy, but I'm actually running towards God. Hallelujah. I'm running towards heaven. I'm running towards my victory. I'm running towards my breakthrough. Somebody say amen. And Abraham, the richest man in the East. I want you just to, I'm almost done. But Abraham, the Bible says he was God's lover. He was a lover of God, God's friend. He was God's man. He loved God. We know without a doubt that he loved God, don't we? And then if we look at it, we see Lot, that he loved men. He sent Lot off, remember? And he was so wealthy, he could send Lot off. And he loved Lot enough that he gave him the best. He didn't give him he said, Lot, you choose the pasture. And even after that, he had no jealousy in his heart. When Lot was captured, the Bible says that he went after him. He went after Lot and saved him and spared him. So what can we see from Abraham? That Abraham loved God. We know that. But he also loved man. You remember when there was the city was there, and Abraham said, if there's 50. If there's 50, will you spare it? If there's 40, how about 40, God? How about 30? God, if there's just 30. You see, that's the passion and heart God anointed. That is the passion in God. That is the passion of man that God anointed and provided financial blessing to. That somebody that said, God, is there 40? And I tell you today, if we as the church will do wealth God's way, we won't have to try to get wealth. We won't have to work for wealth. Wealth will work for us.